Yes, sir. You already know what time it is. You already know what's going on. Your favorite cousins are back. Your favorite duo is now back in session. I am your host, Kent Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. Now, Kyle, last week was pretty slow, I would say. Not much going on. You know, we kind of just took our time with it and just like kind of, I feel like we had like a laundry list. So we just like checked off the things that we need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
This week, especially Thursday morning, a lot of things just started piling on.
Mm-hmm. This entire week has been filled with like storylines and narratives all across the board and like damn near every sport.
Yeah.
You know, every sport that we cover essentially. So that's really nice. You know, it gives us some things to talk about. Yeah. Some things, you know, go back and forth on.
Right.
So I'm excited with it. So talk to me, brother.
All right. So I guess we'll start off with what happened earlier in the week. So Justin Jefferson agreed to a 4-year, $140 million contract extension that includes $110 million guaranteed. The deal includes an $88.74 million due at signing. It is the highest non-quarterback guarantee at signing in NFL history. This will reset the wide receiver market for sure.
You know, as it should. You know, Justin Jefferson is most definitely a top three receiver in the league.
I think he's the best.
You know, we arguably one of the best. You know, you still got arguments with like Tyreek and other people, but you know what he brings to the table: his athleticism, his length, his size. You know where he could go get the ball inside the numbers, outside the numbers. Like he could catch it anywhere on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's really nice. It's well deserving. I'm just worried about their quarterback situation, honestly,
right.
And like you know, just how the Vikings are gonna go ahead with that. And, you know, to see what they're going to actually do and what, you know, how they progress. Because you give Justin Jefferson that money, you locking him in and you know that he's going to, you know, be there for the long haul.
Right.
Or at least that's what you're making
that's
it seem like.
Opening, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We'll see, brother. We will see because he is most definitely deserving of it.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Jets.
He's, you know, in my opinion, he's the best wide receiver in a game. And I don't really think it's close for me personally because it's more so... You know, with Tyreek, he kills you with the speed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the fact that Justin Jefferson's route running is just second to none at this mm-hmm. point. It's also his speed. Like you said, it's his length, his athleticism, and things of that nature. So, no, he more than well deserves this right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of what their quarterback situation is going to look like.
Exactly.
Just from what I'm hearing is that Sam Darnold and Nick Mullins are both in front of J.J. McCarthy
mm-hmm.
at this point right now. That's what I got from Bleacher Report earlier mm-hmm. this morning. So, That's going to be something, obviously, we keep an eye on. I think it's something that, you know, in due time, J.J. will come into his own. And then, you know, we can start finally seeing him pair up with Justin Jefferson. But
yeah,
I think, you know, with Jefferson, he's just one of those rare guys where you can just throw it up there. He's going to come down with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Absolutely. But not like to have Sam Darnold there and ahead of like and Nick Mullins ahead of J.J. McCarthy, it's not that surprising because, like, you know, probably it's a lot of question marks still surrounding J.J.
Yeah.
And, you know, can he actually go out there and, like, you know, be the number one quarterback under snap,
mm-hmm.
under center?
And make some throws that, you know, in Michigan he didn't have to make
exactly.
a certain amount of, you know, those, mm-hmm. like, tight window throws, I would say, you know, and it's going to be a lot different in the NFL, especially in that division that they're in with the Bears, with the Packers, with, you know, the Lions as well. So that's one of the toughest divisions in the sport right
mm-hmm.
now. So,
mm-hmm. But, like, I think, like, you know, having somebody like Justin Jefferson, you know, to be able to come down with the ball wherever you throw it to him, if you can give him, you know, a good solid, like, throw where he can just catch it, like, that helps out somebody like J.J. because it'll give him the confidence to make certain throws that he knows that his receiver will do.
Right.
But, you know, Sam Darnold, you got the experience. Like, you know, he's actually been, you know, he's been around for years.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, like, to have Justin Jefferson with him, even, too, like, Sam Darnold can make certain throws. Like, he's not terrible.
Yeah.
He's not terrible. So, nah, man, well-deserving. I'm glad Justin Jefferson got his money and reset the market.
Right.
Definitely going to – I'm interested to see, like, how CD is going to come into play now.
Yeah.
You know, when he will get his money, if they even prioritize it right now. Because, you know, Dallas is in a tough position, too.
Yeah, they're in a very tough position with – CD, which we're actually going to talk about him in a second, and also Michael Parsons. Yeah, no, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
But CD is still seeking a contract extension, obviously, and he did not attend a mandatory mini camp. And by skipping that mandatory mini camp, he actually owes over $100,000 in fines, along with Brandon Ayuk, who also owes that much because they're both holding out for new contracts.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what happens when you miss out on mandatory.
Yeah.
You owe like a lot of money. I forgot what it is per day, but it goes up though.
It keeps to go.
The money increases. So
wow,
that's not fun.
Now the Cowboys got to get their house in order.
Yeah,
because you know you got three guys that want their money right now, mm-hmm. and Michael Parsons, CeeDee, and Dak.
Yeah,
shame on Dak Prescott, okay, for wanting his money right now, like this. Shame on him. Shame on him, because you're not even worried about taking care of your guys. You know what I'm saying? You see guys like Patrick Mahomes, you know what I'm saying? You see like Tom Brady's of the world, you know what I'm saying? They giving, you know, they taking pay cuts, you know what I'm saying? They're getting it more on the back end so that right now they could build and they could keep going, because you don't know why. That's what makes a winner, Cameron. That's what makes a winner.
Well, also, Patrick Mahomes already has his new contract. That's what allows him to get money on the back end, though.
Dak Prescott don't deserve no contract right now, okay? He don't.
I'm not saying whether he deserves it or not. In my opinion, I think that he should leave. That's what I think.
I
don't think that they treated him fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I always go back to was when Michael Parsons and CeeDee Lamb were sitting up there on Michael Parsons' podcast show, and they was talking about, and then CeeDee Lamb was sitting there talking about, I could help him while he's sitting there eating his food. You could help him. Why didn't you help him before threw those four interceptions? Now you're going to sit here after the fact on Super Bowl week and talking about, I can help him. I don't want your help now. You watched me crash and burn.
Exactly.
What do I need you for now?
Everybody watched him crash and burn. And that's why I'm saying he does not deserve this money at this current moment in time. I ain't saying he doesn't deserve it at all.
Right.
This current moment in time.
I understand.
You take care of Micah first. You take care of CeeDee. Because those are the cornerstones. Those are what keep the guys there.
Well, they haven't really been keeping the guys there. We don't even know who their running back is.
They haven't kept nobody in however long, okay? I don't know, brother. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? They better watch out, because it's not looking good. It ain't looking good.
It's going to be a rude
Don't let the Mavericks win one before the Cowboys, dog.
Like you said, the Dallas Stars, the hockey team got down to the conference finals before that they did.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly the problem. But whatever. That's neither here nor there.
It is what it is. But CMC, Christian McCaffrey, has reset the running back market. He has a two-year extension now, averaging $19 million per year. This is in addition to his $8 million, $8 million that he also has scheduled. So he obviously rightfully deserving. So he's
ain't
the best running back in the
league. Ain't even nothing to talk about with that one, bro. Yeah.
That one's easy.
Yeah.
Cameron Sutton will be headed to the Steelers. He was released by the Lions earlier this offseason after some off-the-field issues. But the Steelers got themselves another cornerback, which is good for them in their depth, which is what they will need. Mm-hmm. And Browns signed head coach Kevin Stefanski and GM Andrew Berry to contract extensions, which is rightfully deserving so, because they have been holding it down for the last few years over there in Cleveland. Things are starting to happen in the NFL. We're in June right now, you know.
Yeah.
And next month we're in training camp.
Mm-hmm. So everybody getting their ducks in order right now.
Yeah, yes, you got to. Yes, you got to. Mm-hmm. It's about that time.
Yes, sir.
But moving on to the NBA. Okay. So before we get into, obviously, what's about to happen with the NBA Finals, some breaking news, some wild news, some unexpected news.
Wild, like?
Like, this is like, we talking, when people say left field, like, this is way, and I mean way out of left field.
like, it's, when I woke up on Thursday, it's like, where did this even come from?
I just seen like a series of tweets pop up from Woj, and I'm like, what in the world?
Tell people.
Bro, okay, so let's start here. So for the past couple weeks, it seemed like JJ Redick was the front runner and probably one of the only coaches that was up there as a candidate for the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that we had talked about a while back, and we were like, you know, it was, you know, like something that we could see happening, but something that we didn't want to see happening because he would be like a rookie head coach, and we didn't want to see him become a scapegoat.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Seen with Darvin Ham and Frank Vogel and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But now, the Los Angeles Lakers are targeting UConn's Dan Hurley to become the franchise's next head coach. Apparently, they are preparing for a massive long-term contract. You know, he was the coach at UConn for the past few seasons. He's won back-to-back national championships. He could easily come back this year and contend for another one for three-peat. That would be more than insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I think before I get into my other thought process, according to Woj, Hurley has been the forefront of the Lakers' search from the beginning of the process. Pelinka once a program in place and not just a coach from coach to coach to come in,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously something that I feel like everybody would agree with, and the talks are expected to pick up. But this is just like mind blowing to me, because Hurley could easily come back and just keep winning championships. But the thing is, in college right now, it's like the land of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that because, like, we don't know who's going to win. Now I'm saying that because we don't know where these recruits are going to go,
mm-hmm.
because of NIL money. That's the number one priority now.
Mm-hmm.
You have coaches out here fundraising now for NIL money. Think about that.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
crazy.
Just for your program. It's not just to get better facilities and, you know, a better stadium. It's not, no. It's not for better seats or whatever in the stadium or nothing like that. No. We're fundraising so that I can go out there and I can get kids.
I can get kids or I can just go get one person.
I could go get this one 5-star that's going to demand $10 million. That's making just as much money as I am. Like, what in the world is that? You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
like now it makes more sense why you see guys like Jay Wright when he had retired from coaching. And you know what I mean?
Nick Saban leaving,
you know what I mean? Coach Mike Krzyzewski, even though he was getting, you know, he's obviously older, but it made sense why he was.
He's probably seen it coming years before.
And the biggest thing that the NCAA has to go through, sidebar, the NCAA has to do this. They have to figure out how to regulate.
I was just about to say that there should have been regulations in place before you even kicked this deal in place.
Because it turned
coaches should not be having fundraisers to go and get like 5-star recruits and then now you're disregarding facilities, you're disregarding, you know, coaches, you're disregarding the program itself.
Like, think about it. I can imagine, you know, coaches sitting there calling up former players, former alumni, like famous alumni, and like, hey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make this team great, so front me like $2 million real quick. Like,
nah, that's a crazy conversation.
That's crazy. Like, nah. You know what I mean? Like, why am I asking you that for a player? If I ask you that for a facility, okay, that's easy as
that. That's fine. Let's go. I'll name it after you.
Exactly.
Let's go.
That's easy. But for me to sit here and be like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get who am I thinking? Oh, I'm trying to get Cooper Flagg.
Mm-hmm.
I need like $5 million though. Like,
you mind fronting that to me, brother? What? Nah, that should not be happening whatsoever. I'm all for the kids getting paid, but things have, you know, taken a turn for not the best.
No.
So it would be expected to see like why like Dan Hurley might leave because of the landscape that is college basketball, like how you were saying, it's the land of the unknown. But like, you could also come back. You already have a program in place and an organizational structure in place that, like, you know that these kids are coming to you not just for themselves.
Right.
They're coming to play basketball for a team and like understand how to play the game of basketball.
Perfect.
So, you know, when it comes to that, like, I could see, like, Dan Hurley staying, but the way that if they said that these talks have been in place since the beginning of the search of, like, when they fired Darvin Ham,
mm-hmm.
and they're just coming out with it now, that was weeks ago, they're just coming out with this now, which means, like, these talks are most definitely ramping up, and he is probably leaning towards it.
Yeah, I've heard Gino Auriemma, he was on a show with I'm for blanking right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a podcast earlier Thursday, and he leaned over to Hurley the other day, and he said, you know, if you take that Laker job, you know, I could see you winning championships there. Only for him to wake up the next day and be like, oh my god, like
he probably was like,
I accidentally put that bug in his ear.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be. If he were to leave, it's going to be a big transition because think about it. Hurley's an East Coast guy. Hurley's from Jersey. You know what I mean? All he knows really is Jersey, New York, Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
and even he was in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. So but to come, he's going to have to come all the way across the coast.
The country. Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That'd be like, you know, if me and you were to randomly blow up from this podcast, mm-hmm. and then next thing you know, we get a call from, like, whoever, and they're like, hey, come out to L.A. You know what I mean? Like, that would be like the wildest shit ever for us because... Mm-hmm. You know, for like East Coast people, it's just different from the West Coast. You know what
completely
I mean?
It's completely different.
Time zone difference, you know, lifestyles are different. Everything is just so different. So it would be very interesting to see what happens. And then, you know, it, I guess the good thing is, you know, his kids are all grown up and everything. They're all graduated. So I guess at this point it would be, under, you know, what his wife would think, you know what I mean? Because they, a lot of people don't believe this, but yes, your family, especially your wife, has a lot of say in what you do.
And she probably got the most amount of say. You don't, you ain't just going, just, there, just like, go, for real. She got to let you go. Yeah. You know, but with the Lakers, they need structure.
They need the structure, and I think that's why he's been the biggest target exactly. for them, because they see that structure at UConn.
But mm-hmm. And like, you know, you gotta treat it as like a SPO, like how Eric Spoelstra, he got structure and organizational say, and then there's Pat Riley who just is like, all right, you could whatever. But that's what Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka should do. But they should just be like, whatever you want, we're gonna step back. You got it, because I don't think it will be successful if you're just standing over Dan Hurley.
They have been with the last few coaches.
Exactly. You can't do that, and you can't bring in players that he does not want,
right.
And you cannot override or veto things that the coach wants. Mm-hmm. You got to let him do it, and you got to give him time to do it, too.
Right.
You can't expect after one season, after 30 games, that things are going to be different. You can't expect after an 82-game season, maybe go to the play-in again, or maybe you get that fifth, sixth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the West is changing right now.
Yeah,
also,
the West is you know, just that conference where it's changing at light speed.
Exactly. So then my also thing is, all right, so now you're paying Dan Hurley, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else? There was already a question about depth in the Lakers. What you're gonna wait for LeBron to retire, and then you'll have money in like later on? Like what?
I don't know.
Do you understand the problem?
Yeah. No, I clearly understand the problem.
Because you got the coach now, but you still don't have the players. He can only implement so many things, but what if you do not have the personnel to do it?
Yeah, no, that's a damn
thing. And it's not like they have capital to go and draft things, or they have capital to go and trade for things, unless you trade Anthony Davis.
Which they were not going to do. Well, they won't do, because this is for Anthony Davis.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of like actual, like what you could get the most for, like what you could get, you know, the most amount of money for, the most amount of things for, it's him.
And that's the reason why they've been talking about possibly trading that number, that 19th pick that they got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I believe that will end up happening, that the 19th pick will end up going somewhere where, I don't know. But yeah, it's all about, like you said, it's all about the depth. You just got to figure that out. But I'm not overly worried about that, especially if he does come in, if Dan Hurley does come in, because, you know, usually with a new coach, you're not supposed to have like the greatest team ever.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
You're supposed mm-hmm. to have, if this is a rebuilding process, then this is going
to be. You got to let it rebuild.
You're going to have to let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to have to let that happen. And, you know, the Lakers put themselves in a tough spot earlier, you know, by doing all these crappy trades and whatnot and trying to get ahead of the curveball when it's like, we're not in that NBA no more.
It's not a star-driven league. Like it's a role player league right now, essentially.
Correct. But that news was jaw dropping, to say the least.
I don't even know what he should do. I still don't know.
That's tough. That's tough. Dude, that's literally the definition of being stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. For these last few minutes, let's get to it. Mavs, Celtics.
All right. Game one Thursday, baby.
Yes, sir. Who do you believe is going to be the one that really, you know, is going to have to push the envelope starting this off?
I'm going to have to go with, to be quite honest with you, it's got to be a Kyrie and PJ Washington show, okay. I think Kyrie is going to be drawing a lot of tough defensive assignments with Jrue Holiday and Derek White on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he has the capability to get around it. But PJ Washington, he got to hit his shots.
Yeah.
He has to hit his shots. Even Derek Jones Jr., he got to hit his shots. I think those are the X factors going into, like, you know, game one and going into the series as a whole.
Right.
Because I already know how Boston's going to play.
Right.
I know exactly how Boston's going to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know what they're going to do. And even when Chris Stapps, mm-hmm. you know, comes
Living
back.
By the three and all
exactly.
That stuff, yeah.
But even when Chris Stapps comes back, I think that it'll be a change to where it won't just have to be PJ Washington anymore. It'll have to be the big men, Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively too. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be really important. if Kristaps comes back healthy.
Okay.
Because have you did you see him in the
Yeah, no, he's good. They're saying he's ready to go.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So we gonna see. I think you know, they gotta make it dirty. The Mavs gotta make it dirty for him.
Yeah.
It can't be a pretty, like, you know what I'm saying, just live and die by the 3-point line on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, either. No, it's gonna be rough, in my opinion, because I feel like for the Celtics side, it's gonna have to be KP that's gonna have to set the tone for them.
Mm.
Which he usually does well when he first begins. But the biggest thing is going to be his conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't just sit out from April to June and then expect yourself to be in the same condition. And then after that, you know, I think he's basically only had a week, you know what I mean, to prepare for this.
Yeah. So do you start him?
You have to.
Really?
You have to. I'm not starting out. Not on Gafford and, you know what I mean? Not on Gafford because Gafford's too. He's too athletic for that.
Yeah.
You seen what Gafford did with the Twin Towers down there over in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They literally, you know, even though Cat got his from time to time, Rudy was doing his thing or whatever, at the same time, they were still toying with them.
They were.
They were. You know what I mean? Derek Lively and Gafford were both strictly catching alley-oops.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing.
And they're going to do that on Al all day. Exactly. Luka's going to find that over. With KP, you got a 7'3" dude that could actually defend them.
Exactly.
Defend them.
But then also, you still, even though you had that 7'3" dude, guess what? He played with Luka. Luka knows. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to know how to bait you and things of that nature. So it's going
to
be.
I know where to catch you to where you're not going to get the ball. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's going to be tough. And for me personally, I feel like the Mavs have better closers in both Luka and Kyrie. I think they're better closers than Jalen and Jason.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I completely agree with you.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like all games, no matter how long that this goes, I feel like all games will be close. But
it's going to come within those last 5 minutes, clutch time.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's how I feel it's going to be. But I think because the Celtics have this, you know, that live and die by the three mentality, I feel like it gives the Mavs more of an upper, you know, it gives them an upper advantage because they don't just have to live and die by the three. Kyrie's going to hit the mid-range. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like things of that nature. Guys are going to get open on those corner shots. All they got to do is make them, you know, with the P.J. Washingtons, with the Josh Greens. And the Derrick Jones,
yeah,
you know. So and that's the thing. So then when that happens, and you keep collapsing the paint, and those guys keep shooting threes, okay, guess what? Now you have to spread out, and then now the paint.
Now Luka can start to work and get inside. Now Kyrie could work and get inside. But that starts. They have to get going hot early.
Early, yeah.
No, it cannot. Yeah, you cannot allow this series to start late. If you're them, you can't. You can't start in, game three after you didn't give up 2-0 and, you know what I'm saying? Okay, come back. No, you got to put it on Boston early.
And that's the thing. I don't believe that they're just going to give up 2-0 either. I think Mavs will still either
game one or game two. I think they're going to steal one as well.
I think they take one of them, and then they carry that momentum into Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you know, obviously what happens in Dallas will happen in Dallas. But, yeah, no, it's going to be – So it's gonna be a chess match, man.
Jaylen Brown gotta be the closer.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
he gotta be. Jason Tatum put it on you early, but JB, I think JV is more capable of closing than JT. Sometimes I see it in him. You could tell that he wants that opportunity more.
Yeah,
and he's gonna do what he can to get there and to actually, like, you know what I'm saying, be that guy.
Correct.
That's scary because everybody thinks JT is, like, you know, the one. But what if JB comes along and he's that one and he starts to outshine JT in this series?
Well, he did it in the last series.
Exactly.
You know
he got
mean?
Eastern Conference MVP.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I could very easily see that. I could very easily see that. But it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough, yo. We got two young athletic teams that are really going to, you know, go at it, you know, For the Mavs, you know, this is going to be great with a young Luka, a Kyrie who's, you know, been there, who's made tough shots over and over and over again, especially in, you know, I feel like that Game 7, 2016, we always go back to that shot, like, every single time.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you go on Twitter, you go on Instagram, whatever, that's
everybody knows that shot.
Everybody knows exactly what that shot is. And
don't let him hit another one.
Yeah, no,
don't let him hit another one. And then he give Luka one after he give LeBron one. Ooh.
And this is one thing that I've always, you know, struggled with the Celtics, you know, because they've been there. You know what I mean? They've been here before. And, You know, it's like, man, if you guys don't get it now, then when?
This is the best opportunity to get it right here, right now.
You have the perfectly structured team.
This is it. This is it.
Yeah.
And if you really want to make a case, you better sweep them. Yeah. Just to be like, yo, we're going to start here right now. Nobody could beat us.
I don't know if they could sweep.
No, I'm just saying. I don't think that they're going to happen. I'm just saying if the Celtics wanted to make a statement, like, hey, we here now. That's what you do. That's what I'm saying.
Man. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what you do.
I'm just like, sweep.
No, it ain't happening. It's not happening. I'm picking the Mavs. I know it ain't happening.
That's who I got to. I don't know. I don't have much belief in the Celtics. It's not even because I hate the Celtics. It's just I just don't have that belief in them like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't. They haven't given me a reason to be like, okay, you guys could sustain this.
Yeah.
You know, like, think about it. If Indiana didn't lose Tyrese Halliburton, that game, that series goes into six.
Mm-hmm. At least.
And then I still have the Celtics winning it. Yeah. But I think the series can
they're
go into six.
The
if they were able to, yeah, if they were able to actually close, then yeah, that series can go into six easily. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, the biggest thing for the Celtics is getting off to a great start and closing.
Mm-hmm.
Closing.
You got to play perfect 48 minutes.
You have to play exactly. And it's the same thing for the Mavericks on the other side. Mm-hmm. Another one. They have to play perfect throughout.
You can't start in the third quarter.
In the third, exactly. Even though that they show that they can do it.
They can. But it's not sustainable for success.
No, it's hard to do because you expend most of that energy in that what in that third quarter, most of the fourth quarter, trying to catch up, and then guess what? Boom. At that last 1 minute, those last 1 to 2 minutes, you're like,
them shots gonna start to be short,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. It's we definitely in for a great series though.
Yeah,
like
yeah. we're in for a dogfight.
It's I'm scared. I'm scared because I could see Luka just coming out and just being like, I'm going to kill y'all.
Just kicking right.
I'm going to like actually like if take he, y'all to deep water.
If he carries in what he had in him from that game five against Minnesota, the Celtics are in hot water.
Exactly.
Along with Kyrie. Because think about it. This is my thing. This is another thing right here. Tatum and Brown have a hard time matching each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In terms of point-wise. If one goes off of 40, the other one can't.
Got like
and
15.
And it's weird. It's the weirdest 17. Thing ever.
Exactly.
But if Luka and Kyrie, if one got 35, the other one has 35. One has 30, the other one has 30. They somehow, Kyrie is one of those guys where he knows how to perfectly match with
exactly
whoever he's
who he's playing with. Yeah.
He did the same thing with Bron. You go get 40, I'm going to get it with you. Everybody else just rallies around us. And they have another team just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Luka, go get 35. Hey, Kyrie, I'll go get another 35 with you. Mm-hmm. PJ, hit those corner shots for me and get those offensive rebounds. Hey, Daniel Gafford, come down with those big-time rebounds and put them back. Hey, Derek Lively, be on the lookout for those lobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Derrick Jones, hey, on a fast break, those dunks are yours.
Yeah.
Hey, the threes are yours as well. Josh Green coming off the bench, going crazy. Mm-hmm. Dante Exum coming off the bench, going crazy. That's the thing. You know what I mean? That's another reason why I feel more confident with them because they all know how to match each other's energy.
Yeah.
When it's Celtics, when things aren't going the Celtics' way,
it gets cold.
It starts to bow down.
Yep.
They all look like. Why can't we do this anymore? Lost. Like, they look lost. Like, we've seen it. We've seen it when they lost to the Heat in game two. We've seen it when they lost to Cleveland in game two. That's me. But that's just me, though.
You're absolutely right. I guess that's the reason why we both got the Mavs. You feel me?
Official picks, Mavs in six.
Mavs in seven.
Okay.
Mavs in seven.
Beautiful.
Mavs
beautiful.
In
yeah. Well, that's our time, folks. I don't know what else to tell you. Game one of the NBA Finals starts Thursday night. Go on ahead and enjoy that. Game two will be on Sunday. By the time we talk to each other, we will be finished with game three, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, definitely going to be some storylines that will be changing. Then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never know. Maybe a Lakers head coach might even pop up too.
I know. Oh, it's going to be a whole nother name.
It's going to be a whole nother dimension now. But till then, I'm your host, Ken Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
See you later.
Thank you.